And at 25 minutes to 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, it's a welcome to Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., who joins us on the morning show for another hard look at some of the matters that are trending locally and nationally. And there's always lots to talk about. Welcome, Gav.
Yeah, good, man. Nice to be back. Enjoyed the long weekend.
It's amazing for me that a long weekend comes and you think, why don't we just make this every week?
I think everybody thinks that way, Dave. there's just so much more you can pack in if you've got an extra day. You can go somewhere, for instance, and then the travel's sort of negated by the extra day, and you still have 2 days of weekend, you know?
Yeah.
I just so enjoyed that extra day, you can't believe. But here we are now back at on the regular thing. Anyone wonders why? Because if you look at how much money we are being taxed from our hard earning, you know, South African taxpayer, I believe that someone counted that there are something like 116 taxes that one is paying directly or indirectly as a South African middle class, desperately trying to keep the lights on. And it's just not fair. It is not fair.
Yeah, well, that's what bureaucracy does. Bureaucracy is just another creature, and what it wants to do is get bigger. And the only way it can get bigger is by finding new and creative ways to tax people, even to the extent that when you die, you pay tax again for the pleasure of having died.
It's absolutely, it's mind-blowing. Look, I don't mind paying for service. I don't, you know, if you get...
Well, if you get any.
Yes, that's the point. And I went across to New Zealand to take a look-see, and everyone was saying, oh, but we pay huge tax. I said, but hell.
Everything works.
Yeah. You've got university, you've got healthcare, you've got very good police security. You actually don't need much at all.
Yeah. I mean, we do the double dip, you know, where we pay for all these things, we don't get them, and then we send our kids to private schools, we pay for our own university education, you know, we have to have medical aid, we go to private hospitals, you know, almost every, even the only good roads are the ones that we go and pay for again when we go through the toll gates. So, it's a little bit of a double dip at our pockets, and
it's more than a little bit of a double dip. Yeah.
The thing is, I mean, Elon Musk said it best, and that is that the fact is, every year, legislators go off to Parliament and they make new laws, 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 and there's never ever any process in which laws are taken off the books. You know, and there's never any process where taxes are reversed. But you know, like, for example, I nearly fell off my chair, but, you know, when our Minister of Finance said, look, the additional 0.5% that we're probably going to want to agree on now is just a temporary tax. Well, there's nothing more permanent than a temporary tax. If everybody thinks back to when VAT first was proposed, it was going to be at 10%, the same as what GST was. And then they said, well, temporarily we're going to push it to 14%. Because we know that the net's going to be new and it's going to be full of holes and we're going to miss some taxes. So just so that we don't come short as a government, we'll make it 14%. But we're going back to 10. Well, you know, now we're on 15. So you don't believe a word they say.
Yeah, now we're on 15 and a half as of now.
Exactly, yeah. Sure.
It's April, huh?
Yeah, I'm not sure on the process. I think there's still a couple of loops to go through, but I haven't really kept my eye on that ball.
Wow.
I just, probably because it's like watching a car crash, you know. It's like, you know, it's just, you cannot believe the decisions that are being made.
One decision that was made, which we had a little bit of a mention of when you were resplendent in your marijuana clad shirt.
See, I've turned it down now.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Holmes Brothers. I like their colorful shirts.
But we were saying how ridiculous it was that they'd now brought out I thought it was a law, but it was in fact a regulation from Aaron Motsoaledi, now outlawing the sale of edibles with cannabis infusion. Mm. And that was creating all sorts of panic and drama. Well, I see you say that nothing is rolled back. Hello.
They hit
the brakes on this one.
He's
withdrawing the regulations that prohibited the sale, importation, and manufacture of these edibles because the president has affirmed his support for more stakeholder consultation. Why do you think that is? I have a theory that the president's got a few friends in the business.
That are in the trade, of course.
So that's... And why do you laugh? it's just one of those things, hey?
Yeah. Well, we did go through Human Rights Day on Friday, was it? And I see that our political one-trick pony, Julius Malema, decided it was a good time to trot out Kill the Boer again. And that on Human Rights Day is appalling, as if Boers don't have human rights as well.
Again? He did that again?
Yeah, yeah. You can't believe it. I remember it clearly. You and I were speaking on air about hate speech, and you know, you said, "Well, you know, you should have hate speech laws because they do protect people from, you know, really being hurt by certain types of speech." And I said at the time that I always felt that it becomes politicized, and those hate speech laws get used by the party in control to limit the speech of its opponents, and that the hate speech courts will become ideologically captured in any event, and only certain types of hate speech will be prosecuted and the speakers convicted, and other types will be let go purely on ideological basis. So it's not, once you start limiting people's speech generally, you are creating a situation in which people can put their finger on the scales. And the wonderful example that we had in this country, and to the eternal embarrassment of our courts, and I'd imagine that the Equity Court is probably filled with people who are ideologically pro-ANC. We had, you know, the Mombergs and Penny Sparrow. They were prosecuted, convicted, and went to jail, as far as I recall. Momberg for using the K word, the racial epithet that nobody uses anymore, and then I remember Penny Sparrow for likening the people that littered all over the beach to monkeys, because they were predominantly black. The insinuation was that black people are monkeys, and yes, of course, that's hate speech and it's obvious. Julius Malema, I don't know if you recall, in 2010 he rocks up in Senegal at the prosecution of the murderers of a chap, I'm trying to remember his name, Bonin was his surname. He was a 20-year-old boy who was murdered on the farm, ambushed and murdered by farm workers. And he chose that occasion on which to appear outside the Senegal court and sing Kill the Boer, which is really, I mean, if you have no moral compass, you'd still think, well, that's not the opportune time to sing Kill the Boer when you're there at the trial of the murderers of a young Afrikaans farmer boy. Well, if you remember, AfriForum took them to court, to the Equality Court, and charged them with hate speech, charged Malema with hate speech, and he was found not guilty. And you go, well, how can incitement to genocide not be hate speech? And then using a racial epithet be hate speech? I mean, you know, just in terms of the severity, the one is clearly outrageously more severe than the other.
Yeah. And I think the rationale that was used there was that it was a bit like the Irish, a lot of the pub songs, which are actually old rebel tunes, but have become common use for gatherings of any occasion to kind of rally people together. And I think that was, because there was even an incident with Bono from U2 defending Malema and that particular song.
I remember it, and I remember it, and I've been, you know, I don't know if you ever went into the actual evidence that was led in the matter. There was an Afrikaans man who was in a wheelchair. His wife had been murdered in front of him, a farmer, and he was paralyzed for life. And he said, you know, I feel a great amount of anguish when they sing Kill the Boer, because I was that Boer, you know. And they put it to Malema at the time. They said, listen, you know, are you not moved by this? And he said, I'm not moved by it at all. You know, and then they also led the evidence.
But you know, you've got to think about who you're talking about and who you're talking to, in the sense.
Well, I think my greater point is that it's there is something wrong in this country at the moment.
Yeah.
There's a narrative that's going in a direction, and it's the wrong direction for this country. Mm. You know, ultimately, we are the pariahs of the world. This Malema thing is all over social media abroad. Elon Musk tweeted it out. You know, any kind of prestige we had as a nation is just being tarnished by stupidity like this, political stupidity. And you know, you look at saying to the world, well, we're not doing expropriation without compensation, when the act that has been signed by the president quite clearly says there are circumstances under which null compensation will be paid. Nowhere in the world is that acceptable. We've signed treaties with other countries that we wouldn't do it. And we're doing these things. And you're going, why are we going headlong towards this precipice? What is the problem? Well, the problem is that everyone knows that 30 years of post-apartheid South Africa has been a disaster. We're on the same. We're really economically per capita GDP where we were in 2006. That means for almost 20 years we haven't grown as a country. Our policies are bad. We've had huge corruption, which we're all very aware of. We've had massive incompetence, which we're all very aware of because we know what happened to our SOEs. And there lies the problem. But you'll never hear a politician say that because they need to point at something else. Well, it must be the Boers. Okay, well, fine. Let's kill all the Boers. That's not going to improve anything because the problem hasn't been resolved. You know, let's take other people's property. Well, that's not going to do anything for this country because we'll be the prize of the world and nobody will invest here. Because
don't you think the problem is that the vast majority of South Africans, and you just have to look at what's going on with a by-election here.
Yeah.
And you look at the rallying cries of the MK party that is whipping up the emotions and getting huge support, by the way.
Yeah.
And by the way, also, I saw one clip one of them is one of the ralliers paying R1,000 into some kitty for some oak and ultimately explaining we are for the people. You know, we are. Mm. This is what we're going to be. Blatantly buying these votes,
yeah.
But the average of that ilk is seeing that what they have right now is worse than they had before, except for the guys that are offering them a better future. They are all extremely well off compared to where they used to be, and they feel an allegiance to these guys because look at them driving the fancy cars, wearing the fancy shoes and the outfits.
Of course.
And if they say it's going to get better, we go with them. And meanwhile,
they can't see the cynicism of the fact that those people are rubbing the noses of the poor and the fact that they have basically looted the coffer.
But the thing is that it's the, you know, you have proportional representation, sure, but ultimately it's a democracy and numbers count.
Mm.
So where are the vast numbers? The vast numbers are those massively untrained, untrainable, poor, downtrodden, abused, but they have a vote.
If you have any doubt that who the most popular politician is in this country, I remember I was on my way to Mozambique once, to Ponta, and at Munguzi, just short of the border, at Kozi there, we were driving and we came into what was essentially just a standstill traffic. And I was wondering what was going on. And then these two helicopters came over and they landed in the field next to us, and it was Jacob Zuma come to speak to the people. I've never seen people charging across the district from everywhere, just coming out of the bushes and all the little, like from everywhere. People, thousands and thousands and thousands of people just ran through the traffic, and you realize that, you know, they just wanted a glimpse of the man, you know, and that he is. I mean, obviously that's...
So therein lies a massive problem where you have the ammunition, if you like, politically, to outgun any rational argument, because people are responding purely on an emotional...
Well, we are emotive beings.
You know, and I use the word tribal in the sense that, you know, a soccer club is like a tribe. Manchester City, and we will live or die for it, almost irrationally, but we belong, we are Manchester.
Well, understandably, because we upright walking apes, and we come from...
Well, you must be careful. Troops. What happened to Penny Sparrow when you talked about that?
I didn't say we. We with Neanderthal blood.
You must be careful. The freedom of speech only goes one way and so far. You know?
Yeah. No, but it's true. I often think of you know, the idea of taking you know, other people's property because you feel you have less. It's almost like you know, like two monkeys sitting with three bananas, and the one's got two bananas and the other one's got one banana, and obviously the one with one banana will say, well, I'm a little bit aggrieved because you've got two and I've got one, so you should break one in half, and then we both, you know, have one and a half. But the problem is you still only have three bananas between you. You haven't made any more bananas. You should be planting a banana tree. And, you know, in this country, we should have planted those banana trees, you know, 30 years ago. And it's becoming self-evident now that, you know, there's still a huge income disparity racially. And that is because, you know, a lot of you know, the very things that we needed, and that is an economy that grows, that was neglected. Those banana trees weren't planted, and you know, if we don't want to be here in 30 years' time, then we do need to start thinking first and foremost about the economy and about what makes an economy work. And we need to put our ideologies aside and say, look, if we really care about poor people, if we really want to make life better, if we really want to get rid of the huge income disparities between rich and poor in this country, then we have to grow our economy. Because I'm sure every single human being would far rather have a job than have a handout from government. Mm. You know, it puts you, and remember that every year that you're on a handout, you get older, the job market gets away from you, and you won't be able to enter it because you haven't got the training, you haven't got the experience. And so if we can give people jobs, which the government keeps saying they're going to do, but they never do, if we can give people jobs, we solve the problem. How do we give them jobs? We grow the economy at a certain rate. You know, we're looking like we're not going to hit 1% growth, you know. So there's very simple ways to do that, and we are doing the complete opposite from a policy point of view.
Well, we've got elections coming up. When is the municipal election or the local elections? I think next year, 26, yeah. Isn't it? So it's we're in the sort of almost countdown stage, isn't it? And you can feel, I mean, the by-election's taking place right now for Guadalajara municipality. One ward that has been, it's interesting that the incumbent of that ward, who resigned his position because it was an ANC position and he's now joined MK, is standing in opposition to him.
To himself, okay.
Although he's no longer the what I'm saying. And it would appear that there's going to be quite a swing in the 26 elections to, certainly away from the ANC and towards the independents. I was very impressed. We had one of the independents in the studio here on the Penny for Ree show the other day, and Pemi was his name. A very, very switched on, very, I found him to be inspirational in that he has been instrumental in outing huge amounts of malfeasance in the municipality. Yeah. And as an independent, and he's not going to necessarily change the world, but it's guys like that collectively, I think, where our hope lies. Because the main players, the big parties, seem to have pretty much run out of puff, and we need a new wind.
They're sort of fairly stodgy, and they're entrenched in positions that, you know, we probably need different thinking, more creative thinking. Yeah. And we need right thinking individuals. You know, a lot of our politics is cynical because you're just saying certain things, not that you believe them, but you know that that is what you need to say in order to persuade people to vote for you. Mm. But, you know, we need to take a more sober view of things and a more mature view of things and say, come on, guys, we all know that there's a goose that lays the golden eggs. We need to look after the goose, and that's our economy. And nobody cares who's making, who's opening businesses, who's starting business, whether it be foreigners, whether it be white, black, colored, Indian, does not matter. We need those businesses. And, you know, I don't believe that BEE has worked at all. It's made very few people very, very rich. But, you know, they say that the cost of BEE is about 160 billion rand a year because, you know, government can buy from BEE accredited companies at up to 25% more than the nearest other bid.
Oh,
if they're BEE. Now, if you add that little premium onto everything that the government spends, you're looking at 160 billion. So we've got twice the 80 billion we're looking for with VAT. So all we had to do was just get rid of BEE. Secondly, there's no proof that that holding back certain racial groupings in this country is beneficial for the country. You know, all you've done really is get have capital flight and a brand drain where people go, well, you know, we can't really compete here because the dice are loaded, so we're going to go elsewhere. We can take our money with us and our educations with us. So it is something we need to get rid of. You know, there's nobody I know that 30 years after apartheid sits there and goes, we need to employ people, but they have to be a certain color.
So, you know, the message is pretty clear. And getting back to the winds of change and the opportunity to help them blow, I think that this next election is going to be an interesting one. Talking about the independents and talking about the caliber of the independent candidate or councillor that we met the other day, I think this next election is going to be interesting because I firmly believe it's an opportunity for good people to stand up and be counted. And if you want to make a difference, and I'm pretty damn sure that anyone that is actually there to make a difference to the society in which they operate rather than to themselves and their mates is going to get the vote. So looking carefully at the manifesto is going to be very important.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Look at people's policies, you know. Don't look at anything else.
Don't look at the tribal colors.
Eh? Yes, yeah.
Because you've always voted this way. Don't look at it that way. Yeah. Look at it as to now who is standing and what they, in terms of track record and opportunity, are going to bring to the party. Because ultimately, then you can hold them to account. Because the problem is when you vote for the colors, you can't look at the individual and say, but what are you doing? Yeah. Well, no, it's a policy. You see, we've got a policy from on high. I think it's time to change that. But that's just, of course, my personal opinion.
You know, all we need really is just people who are public servants to serve the public and to simply do the right thing by the public. And that we haven't seen for 30 years.
It's accountability. Yeah. What we want is accountability. And there it is. I think a great way to end the show is kind of optimistically looking forward
towards... You like to end on a high note.
We have to. We have a duty, a moral obligation to try and lift people out of the massive depression that we got them into in the first place. So, Gavin, I thank you. We will catch up again in a week's time. And if you're looking for a good attorney, Gavin Steinhobel, our attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., is a good man to have in your corner. Gavin, until we meet again in a week.
Looking forward to it, Dave.